AM 1460, WVOX, and WVIP HD4, New Rochelle.
Welcome to Brand Talk, the only show on radio where branding gets practical and personal here on WVOX Radio 1460 on your AM dial. Heard on a new day and time, Thursdays from 5 to 6. My name is Dr. John Tantillo, and I'm here with TJ McCormick, and we're here to talk about brands. Your personal brand, your career brand, and even your business brand. Question. What do you do when you hear about a brand that you really have no use for? It's just not for you. You know, folks, I was listening to the news the other day, and I experienced this for myself. And today on Brand Talk, we're going to discuss some brands that we really don't like or really dislike and why we feel the way we do about these brands that we really don't have any use for or dislike, or they just don't appeal to us. I'm going to put on my other hat, that of a psychologist, my PhD in research psychology, to kind of analyze that, but I will not be too far from my branding and marketing expertise hat as well. So I have the two hats that are placed right by each other's side. So I'll be able to pull it off the shelf. But we have a show for you today. We're going to be talking to entertainer par excellence, Richard Skipper, who does an interpretation of Carol Channing that I think is the best in the world. And I mean that. He is just what a performer and a really wonderful person and a very interesting brand. And we're going to talk about that. And then we're going to have our Did You Know That? And we're going to do a winner and a loser. And in all of this, if you're listening for the first time, this show, Brand Talk, is about understanding brands. And whether or not you're talking about a personal brand, a professional brand, or your small business brand, what we do here at Brand Talk is we use the same marketing principles that Fortune 500 companies use so that you can go brand yourself and that you can become the brand you are truly meant to be. And during the hour, we, that's me, Dr. John Tantillo, and my colleague and friend, TJ McCormick, what we want to do is provide you with some branding and marketing gems that are going to be helpful to you as you go through the marketplace. And this is a call-in show, and it's your show, and we want to hear from you. So give us a call at 914-636-0110. That's 914-636-0110. And if that doesn't work for you, and if you're email inclined, doc@brandtalkradio.com. That's doc@brandtalkradio.com. And next week, we're going to have, as I had mentioned the week before, we're going to be speaking to a classical violinist, and he is just one heck of a person, brand, talent, and I can't wait to interview him next week. He goes to the Manhattan School of Music, and he's just wonderful. His name is Assi, A-S-I, Mathias, M-A-T-H-I-A-S. So we're going to be talking to him on the 26th. And we got some exciting and different interviews that are going to come down the pike. And I don't want to mention the names yet because we haven't reached out to them. But we have, I would say, a tacit agreement. You like that,
teacher? Tacit?
Tacit, yes. A tacit.
Tacit.
Tacit. T-A-C-I-T.
Ah, yes.
It's one of those professor words.
Yeah, yeah. Please don't use those.
Okay, I won't. And if you don't know who that is, it's my cohort in crime here.
Yes.
T.J. McCormick.
Guilty as charged.
I don't know about that. But anyway, you've seen him on the Fox News Channel. You've seen him on the Fox Business Channel. And, of course, you've heard him on Brand Talk, where Brenda gets personal here on WVOX. And so let me, without any further ado, introduce my dear friend, confidant, and friend, and partner in crime,
yes,
T.J. McCormick.
Hello there. Good day, sir. It was a wonderful night last night.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
Yes?
I just can't believe that guy, Mark Nadler.
He was great last week on the show. All you guys who were listening, you heard Mark Nadler, the very talented gentleman who is here. His show. What's the actual title of that show? Was it
1961?
What a wonderful approach to cabaret.
Sure.
Using a year as a template, as the backdrop, as the whatever you want to call it, as the template for a cabaret show, using all the hits,
right,
and tying them together with the news stories of 1961. And it was great. It was,
yeah,
a really good time. And
yeah,
great meatballs.
Great meatballs. We're referring to the after party. After the event, we had these great hors d'oeuvres.
Mm.
And it was just such a pleasant night. You see, that's my environment. See,
uh-huh.
I much prefer a musical venue than just simply a Broadway where,
yeah,
you're in those auditorium seats.
Like the funny I heard.
Yeah. He's referring to one of the many times my good friend Frank Krasovic, who I've known from grammar school. He tries to make me not a barbarian. So he tries to give me culture, and
right,
to no avail. And what he did for my birthday a number of years ago, you'll be able to enlighten the audience.
Yeah,
and you're listening to Brand Talk with T.J. McCormick, John Tantillo, 914-636-0110. That's 914-636-0110. This is WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. So basically, he buys me these seats, not basically, to see the producers. One of my favorite shows of all time, actually movies with Mel Brooks, and I had probably a little too much to drink at dinner, and it was hot because it was in July. And I was in the mezzanine, and I just wasn't in the mood for it.
Right.
So I'm going to let TJ
before the overture even, or as soon as the overture kicks in.
Right.
This guy says, "You know what? I can't." He heard it's springtime for Hitler, and all of a sudden, he's like,
I couldn't do it.
The first strains of the overture. And I got to say, I'm with you. There's a very limited number of musical anythings that I can sit through.
There's more to it than this that he didn't want, that I didn't want to bring up. Now I'm going to bring it up to, billions and billions of listeners in terms of the cosmos.
Yes.
But the problem was,
yeah,
I had two... I have to say this the right way. Two large people on either side of me. So I was getting MRI syndrome. You know what I'm saying?
You were getting claustrophobic.
I was getting claustrophobic, and they were hanging off the seats.
Is that your brand? Ladies and gentlemen, if you're in your car and it's safe to call, use your hands free and call us if you get claustrophobic sitting between two chubbies.
I mean, you know, I had a few too much to drink.
Hey, honesty from the good doctor.
I had some wine, I had some cocktail, so. And then was not a good day. It was not a good day in the neighborhood.
Here is proof. And here's the thing. I have never been in that environment with you. But this is just proof positive of what it means when John talks about what your brand is on a personal level, when branding gets personal. While I've never been in that environment with John, you telling me that, it made perfect sense. I know all your little warts and moles and little unique. And it
picadillos,
made perfect sense.
I think they used to call them.
Yeah, little picadillos.
As W.C. Fields would say.
Yeah. Get away from me. Can you bother me? So, get away from me, fat person. You bother me.
I don't want to really offend anybody.
No, this is about you. This is your own quirk. Right. This has nothing to do with the person who's...
Absolutely. Go ahead.
I think what's fascinating on the light side is that this, our pet peeves are just like our strong suits. Our pet peeves are just like our other characteristics, how we dress, how we talk, how we walk. The little things that are our little quirks and our little shortcomings are exactly the same thing, I think. And so I think that would be interesting, too. If you have a really, really unique pet peeve, if something just gets your goat that other people just don't understand, I think, John, you'd probably like to hear that from people.
Oh, of course. We all like
to
hear
those. Give us a call with your pet peeve.
It's 914-636-0110, 914-636-0110. It's Brand Talk. Or what about, my pet peeve is talking about brands that we really don't give a damn. Frankly, Scarlett, I don't give a damn.
Right.
I heard the other day they were all going wild on this Pippa thing in England.
Middleton,
and the gun. And the gun.
Mm-hmm.
And they were making a big production out of it. Yeah. I mean, I just don't think that the American public cares about that. I would say that it is a upper middle class concern.
Right.
It's with the Tina Browns of the world, Daily Beast fame, right? Used to be with Vanity Fair. It's that crowd.
Yeah.
It really isn't most Americans that would care about this brand. It just bothers me. I guess it's the same. it's the same brand when I hear about dentures.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really care about dentures because I don't have dentures.
Right.
But what's very funny is here's a brand that I really don't care about.
Mm-hmm.
Is in the mail just today that I picked up the mail early. I opened it up.
Yeah.
Are you ready for this?
Sure.
I can't believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was an advertisement for Pine Lawn Cemetery out on Long Island with my name on it about planning my future.
What is it? Was it a photoshopped tomb headstone?
No. That's, they didn't do that. They didn't have
your name here.
No. No, that wouldn't. That wouldn't be good. That wouldn't be good. Well, by the way, here's an excellent example of marketing at its best or its worst.
Uh-huh.
A few years ago, when I was working for a mental health facility, we did a mailing to people that were of the same age group. We didn't identify whether or not they had psychological problems or anything.
Okay.
The piece was towards individuals who were married between the ages of 45 and 60.
Okay.
And we sent this out, direct mail piece, and the piece was so effective that we got complaints. Where did you get my name from?
Wow.
And how did you know my son or daughter had a problem?
No kidding.
And so I felt so badly about that, even though from a marketing point of view, it was very effective.
Yeah.
But you don't really want to do that in terms of being hitting
wow.
the bullseye like that. So anyway,
jeez, that's fascinating.
So when they say marketing doesn't work, sometimes it does.
Right.
914-636-0110. You're listening to Brand Talk with TJ McCormick, John Tantillo, and so that's some of the things. But there's a reason for me to talk a little bit about brands that really don't.
Yeah, why do you bring that up?
I bring it up because sometimes, either in our business or even in our personal relationships or even our professional relationships, what goes on is we try to be something that we're not, because what we do is we focus on ourselves and not on the target market that we're trying to appeal to. And so what I'm basically saying is, when you talk about a brand, you got to worry about who your target market is. And so if they're going to do a story about Pippa, they better be aware that most people don't really care about that story and are going to change the dial.
Yeah.
Or going to switch the channel.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether or not they do that.
That's interesting. Now, you see, because there is, when you first mentioned this to me last night, pre-cabaret.
Sure.
And I immediately went to the things that I just tune out. And there is a difference between marketing campaigns and ads on TV that, this is very interesting, that you just go past you like white noise. And you tune it out, and you've seen the commercial a million times. But there's other ones that irritate me and everyone else, irritate us, to the extent that we will go and do something, we will change the channel. I don't even want it in my living room.
Right.
You know?
Sure.
And I guess, you know what's one? This is interesting. I wonder.
Did not know that.
Which one is it? I'm all about raising awareness.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We all know people who have who are fighting something of some nature, especially cancer.
Mm-hmm.
We all, and it's interesting. There's one thing to be raising money for cancer, and there's other things where they talk about raising awareness for cancer. And as we've gotten older, that whole notion of raising awareness goes a long way, because it goes towards prevention, it goes towards understanding, et cetera, et cetera. Be that as it may, it seems like every other commercial on TV right now, there is a thing out there. There's a movement out there where there is just constant advertising for cancer treatment, cancer centers, cancer. And I got to tell you, it gets me down.
Right.
It brings me down.
Right.
I can't take it anymore.
Right.
I change the channel on my radio. It seems like the beginning of every bank of commercials will start with something relating to cancer. And that's not because, look, I'm not trying to stay in a cocoon. I'm a big boy.
Right.
But I don't need to hear it in the middle of a beautiful sunny day. And I notice people out there driving right now, maybe coming home from a chemo treatment. You're in my prayers. I'm not disparaging it. I'm just saying.
I think maybe you're going to have to go to MTV. You're not going to get those ads on MTV.
Yeah, well, you're right. But that's another one. But I can't watch MTV either.
Why can't you watch MTV?
Because it's just a whole lot of rewarding bad behavior.
Oh, all right.
It's rewarding, the objectification
Come
of women.
On. You didn't think Jackass was funny.
I like Jackass and Jersey Shore.
Okay.
But other than that, I don't watch it. How dare you?
And, you know, Punk wasn't bad with Ashton Kutcher. They were pretty good.
Okay, those three shows. But other than that, I never watch it.
And not Pimp My Car.
All right. Other than Pimp My Car, Punk, Jersey Shore, and the other one. Well, wait, and Beavis and Butthead.
Right.
Beavis and Butthead, Punk, Jersey Shore.
Okay. Now you see where I'm going on this. How do you feel? 914-636-0110. You're talking to TJ McCormick, John Tantillo. It's Brand Talk, WVOX, 1460 on your AM dial. And don't forget, we're going to be doing an interview with Richard Skipper, who interprets Carol Channing, and we have a whole battery of questions we're going to ask him about cabaret and whether or not that's, as I mentioned to Mark Nadler last week, whether or not that brand, the cabaret brand, is skewing a little too old in terms of demographic and what the future of cabaret is. So we'll run that past them. But you know, I have a great Richard Skipper story, mm-hmm. and then we'll get into the winner and loser, and then we're gonna do Did You Know That?
Winner and loser,
then,
Did You Know That?
And you know, and then of course our calls at 914-636-0110. But I first met Richard because my dear friend Alice Fennell, she's involved with the cabaret convention, mm-hmm. and she had invited me to this day where agents would pick talent. Mm-hmm. So you had all these different acts.
Oh, wow.
Okay, and I was invited, and who was there but Richard Skipper.
Wow.
And he did Carol Channing. And, of course, who I brought was Mr. Broadway himself, my friend Frank Krasovic, who knows everything about Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to understand one thing about Frank.
Right.
He has this encyclopedic knowledge of theater, mm-hmm. and don't mess around with his theater. Don't mess around with my theater. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And don't mess around with my icons. So what happens is Richard Skipper comes on the stage in full regalia
as Carol Channing,
the best interpretation of Carol Channing I have ever seen.
Wow.
And my friend Frank was in shock.
Wow.
And I couldn't stop laughing.
Right.
So anything that poor Richard would say...
Yeah.
I was hysterical.
Sure.
And got the whole audience laughing.
Oh, my. Oh, well, you had a very contagious laugh.
And what happened was his performance was so memorable that he told me that he got two or three bookings as a result of that.
Wow.
But it's one of those things that when you start laughing, you can't control yourself.
I've been there.
It's the old Jack Benny, you know, George Burns would say, I'm going to say the word clown and you're going to laugh.
Yeah.
And he would say clown and then Jack Benny would fill you on the floor for laughing.
Right.
He just couldn't control himself.
And like I said, you have a ridiculously contagious laugh. John's laugh is a joie de vie laugh. It is, it's great.
But it was Richard doing Carol Channing. It was Frank responding by not responding and being like horrified.
Right.
And then the silence of me being the only one laughing. And then it reinforced it. It was really a lot of fun. 914. Do you ever get into a laughing fit? You know, Red Skelton used to get into those laughing fits all the time.
Absolutely.
And I saw that, I think last week on Saturday Night Live, mm-hmm. they were doing a skit. And they were beginning to...
And somebody broke up?
They were breaking up, and that was big with the old-timers doing that. I think it's considered...
Oh, well, remember Harvey Korman and Tim Conway.
Sure.
You
914-636-0110, 914-636-0110, Brand Talk. So we're going to talk to Richard about that. I don't know if he even remembers, but anyway, we're going to do that. But let's get to the winner and loser.
Yeah.
Okay, how about that? And each week, what we do... If you're here for the first time, is I choose a brand winner and a brand loser for those brands that I believe have either exceeded or failed in basic brand fundamentals. And the whole idea here is we want to get you to take away things from these brand winners and losers. We want this to be a learning experience. So without any further ado, here we go. Winner is Lincoln Ford. I should say the brand Lincoln. Now love Lincoln, and
Lincoln
the genius,
Ford is a company.
Yeah, right. Yes, but what I'm talking about the brand Lincoln brand of cars.
Gotcha.
And some of the geniuses were thinking at one point of doing away with the Lincoln brand, mm-hmm. and they came to their senses and they said, "No, it's a very, very strong brand. It's a very, very good brand. And in my brand Winner and Loser, what we do is we talk about how Ford has now decided to reinvigorate the brand and to, I wouldn't say go back, but to remember what Lincoln was able to do in the early 60s with that Jugunda size, jumbo size Lincoln Continental.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's close to a one-bedroom apartment in New York City.
It's huge.
I mean, it's huge. And if you don't know what which one I'm talking about, if you see the show Entourage, it's the large convertible that they leave the car with, with the doors come
the suicide
from
the doors.
The suicide doors, yes. And it's just a great brand. One day I will have a Lincoln Town Car. I always used to drive a Lincoln Town Car. I love a Lincoln Town Car.
And when you
that's
and I go do TV, they send a Lincoln Town Car for us.
That's right.
That is the car of the livery industry.
Yeah.
And it is a heck of a ride.
And see, the whole idea with brands is, remember, here we go, folks. If you could remember this, a brand is not about you. It's about your target market. And that's what people sometimes forget when you're on the marketing side of things. You try to think, well, maybe it's too old, as opposed to, well, how is the market going to respond to the change? And then the next thing, as in terms of the loser, and I know this is going to be something that we're going to we will talk about after the interview,
John,
with Richard Skipper, because this is the bomb that's going to be thrown. It's going to be peanuts at the ballpark. They're thinking about getting rid of can you imagine this? Peanuts at the ballpark. And I now calm down. After the break.
Okay.
We have, of course, Winner and Loser.
Yes.
Richard Skipper.
And then.
Did you know that?
Yes.
All after the break.
On WVOX Worldwide. This is WVOX Worldwide.
With world and national news three times an hour, here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio. I'm Lisa Lissandra. A mystery in the Gulf of Mexico with a small plane sinks after the FAA lost contact with the pilot.
The Coast Guard says a Cessna has sunk into the Gulf of Mexico off the coast of Tampa. The FAA alerted NORAD this morning when the pilot would not respond to their attempts at communicating. Two F-15 fighter jets headed out there and followed the plane until it ended up in the water.
Fox Radio's Evan Brown, a Coast Guard cutter en route to the crash site. There may be a break in the case of a missing child from New York City from 33 years ago.
He was 6 years old in 1979 when his parents let him walk alone for the first time to the bus stop. Eitan Pates would never be seen by his parents again, but we'd see him. Pates' picture became the first to appear on milk cartons nationwide in one of the largest missing child searches ever.
Fox Radio's Jeff Bonasso in New York. Fox News. We report, you decide.
Now with your latest up-to-date forecast, here's Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather, exclusively on WVOX Worldwide.
Well, the forecast for the afternoon, mostly sunny, temperatures in the lower 70s, southwest winds at 5 to 15. It'll be mostly clear tonight. For nighttime low temperatures in the lower 50s, sunny weather on Friday with Friday's highs of 70 to 75. Then becoming cloudy at night, might be some showers, mid-50s. Saturday, overcast and wet weather, some occasional rain and showers, or highs in the mid to upper 60s. Rain likely on Saturday night, Sunday overcast with rain, 55 to 60. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for WVOX Worldwide, WVIP HD.
Right now we have 65 degrees in New Rochelle.
You've been working way too hard on the way home.
Have some fun
with VOX.
We are back here on Brand Talk Radio 1460 on your AM dial. This is Dr. John Tantillo TJ McCormick. We're here to talk about brands. 914-636-0110 or doc@brandtalkradio.com. And now our guest today.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Richard Skipper has received artistic and critical acclaim over the past 19 years as a first-class entertainer, and I can definitely say yes to that. He can be seen in Dory Bernstein's Carol Channing Larger Than Life. In 2011, Richard debuted to Carol Channing with Love, now available for booking at Blame It On Midnight in Palm Springs. It honored Carol Channing's 90th birthday and was a benefit for Carol Channing's Foundation for the Arts, where you can get more information at that at channingarts.org. He has a highly successful blog called Richard Skipper's Celebrities, focusing on artists and their body of worth, and what makes a great unique entertainer, or as we like to call here on Brand Talk, what makes a great brand. Richard teaches his workshops on creative higher visibility utilizing social media. Boy, is this guy a brand guy or what? He has served on several panels on the business end of show business and is often asked to MC many prestigious events. He raises money for the Dr. Carol Channing Harry Collegian Foundation for the Arts, established in 2005, and it is with great pleasure that I welcome friend, entertainer, and show business consultant, Mr. Richard Skipper. Richard, welcome to the program.
Dr. John, keep talking.
I can't do that.
One mistake. My blog is not Richard Skipper Celebrities. It's Richard Skipper Celebrates.
Oh, jeez. Thank you so much. I'm bad because I have this thing that that the nuns used to get me nervous, and so I do things like that. I'm better at ad-libbing than reading because I'm afraid I'm going to get the ruler over my hand. But anyway, so how are you, kid? What's going on?
Incredibly well. I am very, very busy. I am writing a book. My blog is going gangbusters. I'm producing several events in New York that I want to talk to you about.
Sure.
And just incredible things. I'm happier right now than I feel that I've ever been at any point in my life.
Why is that?
Well, I think that I have discovered Richard Skipper. As you know,
what does that mean? I know that from a branding perspective. But why don't you tell our listeners what you think? What does that mean to you? So that they can be helped or by your words.
Absolutely. Well, for 20 years, as you know, I made a living performing as Carol Channing.
Mm-hmm.
I performed all over the world. The greatest gift that came out of that was the relationship and the friendship that I have with Carol Channing.
Right.
What separated me from anyone else who has done an impersonation of her is that I have always treated her with respect.
Oh, definitely.
Most people who are doing an impersonation are editorializing or presenting that person as they see them.
Right.
And as I say about most impersonators, they're not impersonating the person that they're impersonating as much as they're impersonating other people who have performed as her.
Mm-hmm.
So about this time, last year, as you know, I was doing my show off-Broadway, and it was a highly successful run. But I decided when that was over that it was time to hang up the wigs, the lashes, and the gowns, and focus on Richard Skipper.
I love it.
But what
I love
done
it.
I have taken the focus really off of Richard Skipper, and I have put the focus on other people. As you said in your description about my blog, I call it celebrating a person's body of worth. I think there's so much that artists in this country have given to the world that people don't really get a chance to know who they are except by what the media puts out there about those people.
Right.
So when I interview the artists that I've interviewed, I go a little bit deeper into their psyche as to what it was about entertaining that grabbed them as an early child and that they have been able to transfer throughout their entire lives.
And I have to just say you're right on, because that's what I think new talent needs. They don't have that. They look at the external as opposed to going deeper. You're singing my song.
Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt you. That we have in this in our culture now are shows like American Idol and So You Think You Can Dance and fill in the blank. What happens is that these artists come along and they think that they are going to become an instant celebrity by being on these shows, and yet they don't have the foundation for a career.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what it takes. Yesterday, for example, I did a blog on Wanda Richard, who was nominated for a Tony Award in the original 42nd Street back mm-hmm. in 1981.
Right.
And Wanda Richard said she recently directed a production of 42nd Street, and the kids that came into audition didn't even know about having a headshot or a resume.
Right.
Because they think they're just going to go in, they're going to compete,
mm-hmm.
because it's all about competition now, and they're going to get that part. And if I can use an example
sure.
of a celebrity that came out of American Idol, and that was Fantasia.
Mm-hmm.
When Fantasia appeared on Broadway, she missed more performances than she did because she did not have the discipline that it takes to sustain 8 shows a week.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very difficult business, and mm-hmm. most people that go into the business have no idea. They think that if they can get up and sing at their local Kiwanis Club, that they have the makings of what it takes to be
right.
a celebrity.
Yes.
It is a tough, tough business.
You're listening to WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. This is Brand Talk, and that's Richard Skipper. And you can get more information for Richard Skipper at your website, Richard?
Yes, richardskipper.com. I'm also on Facebook, and I'm also on Twitter.
Okay,
and
we're not going to let you go yet. I just wanted to get that important information out. And, you know, you bring up a very, very good thing, because when young actors and actresses, and last night, we were at an event with Mark Nadler. You're familiar with Mark's work. You're good friends, I believe, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so I met a number of actors and actresses, and they don't have a clue. And you have to reinforce that it's not show art, it's show business.
That means you
have to build a brand.
Well,
and you're doing it, you say it in a different way, but that's basically what I'm saying. I didn't mean to cut you off, Richard. What were you going to say?
No, I was saying that one of the biggest mistakes that I see, especially in the New York City cabaret scene, is that most people that are performing in cabaret do not reach beyond the borders of their own artists.
Right.
The lines are very blurred between who the artists are, who the performers are, who the press is, and who the critics are.
Right.
And unless you, again, it goes to branding. I'll give you a perfect example. I am working as the associate producer of the Bistro Awards, which are taking place next Monday night at the Gotham Comedy Club,
mm-hmm.
Celebrating the best in cabaret and in music.
Right.
And as you know, and I was selling ads for the Bistro Awards program, and I cannot begin to tell you how many performers
yes.
said to me, I have nothing to advertise.
Uh-huh.
And I said to every one of them, if you've got a website
right.
and you have a show that is ready to go anywhere in the world, you always have something to advertise. And a lot of people only work when they have something on the board.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to, you know, talk for a moment about a show that I'm producing on May 6th.
Sure.
At Feinstein's at the Regency, and that's Peggy Herman's tribute to Jerry Herman.
Oh.
Now, this is a woman who has had an incredible career.
Wow.
She was working in cabaret back in the 80s, and then she got married. She left New York, and she worked outside of New York. She's come back to New York. She's put this tribute together for Jerry Herman. It's Herman on Herman. And for those who are questioning whether or not she is related to Jerry Herman, come to the show and find out.
Okay.
It's directed by Tommy Toon and Peter Glebo. The musical arrangements are by Alex Rybeck. And I have to tell you, anyone who is a fan of Jerry Herman and Broadway and real musical theater to come to see this show.
However, can you get tickets? Where do we get tickets?
You can call Feinstein's, tell them that I sent you.
Okay.
And the number there is 212-339-4095.
Say that again.
It's 212-339-4095. And we have a special offer for your listeners today. If they use the code RSPH, that stands for Richard Skipper Peggy Herman, RSPH2012, they will get a great discount that Feinstein's is offering.
Do that code one more time.
RSPH2012.
Wow, that's great. And in I have just one more question,
okay,
and then we'll wrap it up. And by the way, folks, you must see Richard whenever he's performing. And if I were an entertainer, and I was marketing entertainers, I would tell them to take your course or to have the first call I would make is to give you a call and get your input, but. The question I have is, what do you think is the future of cabaret? Is it graying? Are you able to get younger people? How do you see cabaret in the next 10 years?
I will tell you very honestly that if people don't get their heads out of their tuchuses, I'm being polite, they are going to drown in the cabaret world. The unfortunate paradigm that has been created, and this goes back to the laziness of the booking managers that came into play in the late 1970s, early 80s, they have made it virtually impossible for anyone to make a living in cabaret in New York City.
Right.
Every entertainer that is serious about a career should have a show that is sellable around the world.
Right.
The wonderful thing that I had going for me performing as Carol Channing is I always had that gimmick of Carol Channing. And I always said that my audience was made up of three demographics: Richard Skipper fans, Carol Channing fans, and the curiosity seekers.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
And
you have an intuitive understanding of marketing, whether or not you're aware of that.
Well,
you're
I'm
very,
aware
very
of it.
Good. No, excellent. Richard, I want to thank you for coming on. One more time for the website, please.
It's www.richardskipper.com, and I am hoping to see all of your listeners, including yourself, John,
yes,
at Peggy Herman's show. It's going to be a star-studded audience. I am thrilled with what she and Alex and Tommy Toon have put together.
Oh, it sounds like a wonderful evening, and I'm going to try to make it.
It's an incredible night.
Okay, listen, Richard, thanks a lot. Richard Skipper, a great brand, a great performer, somebody you got to go see. Thanks, Richard. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Goodbye.
I tell you, you got to go. You know, we have to go and see him perform.
I can't wait.
I took a friend of mine. I took two groups of friends from Fox over there.
Really?
I don't want to mention their names, but
okay.
I mentioned, and they couldn't believe it.
Really?
He was just a great...
Oh, he's legendary.
Richard says impersonates. I never use the word impersonate. Mm-hmm. I say interprets.
Yes, you do draw the distinction. I like that.
I do that.
I like that.
Because you know, as a comedian,
mm-hmm,
today you can't do impersonations. It's
right.
Always looked down on.
Yeah.
The new guys and gals don't like to impersonate.
Right.
So I don't use the word impersonation.
Right.
And you know who taught me that? Carrie Hoffman.
I was just going to say, like your friend Carrie Hoffman.
Carrie
on Broadway.
Hoffman said a Sinatra interpreter or vocalist and that's much better. And,
sure.
And Richard is just such a great, solid talent. So it's just wonderful. So if you'd like to give us a call, 914-636-0110. That's 914-636-0110. I want to start a nuclear war here or get a reaction from my loser. And then we're going to go to Did You Know That? And any other calls that come in the pike, that would be great. But on my loser this week, I just think that the inmates are running the asylum.
Mm-hmm.
When, are you ready for this, folks? Ballparks have said no to peanuts. What will be next? Cracker Jacks? Well, so, I mean, you know, go ahead, teacher.
You know, it's just, I get the idea of certain types of legislation. I get the idea of certain types of, you know, panic reactionary type of, you know, banning. You know, you had a very good idea. Okay, we understand more and more about this peanut allergy. Then again, there's also a shellfish allergy that's just as bad. There's people who could drop dead of anaphylactic shock from eating a piece of shrimp.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So, you know, what happens to Red Lobster? should Red Lobster be going? Should they be out of business? Or Long John Silver? Will the Gorton's fishermen have a career? I ask you. I want you to get up, go to your window, open up, stop making a tag. Anyway, it's
calm down now. Come on.
To me, it's all part and parcel of this cultural thing where we take out the broadest brush possible, dip it into a big thing of paint, and just paint everything else. For example, the whole notion of the warning labels.
Right.
You know, and you can also dovetail that with the whole idea of sin taxes. When people want to either put, you know, cumbersome taxes and health warnings on cigarette labels.
Right.
Heart disease from bad eating and blah, 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 blah contributes to millions of deaths around the world. Hundreds of thousands, whatever. What's next? Are we going to start putting frightening graphics of clogged arteries on packages of Twinkies, or even the less here, there I go with the reactionary Twinkie thing. How about, you know, just on a package of ground beef, you know?
Right.
It's, you know, where do you draw the line? They want to put taxes on the people out there want to put taxes on soda. Mm-hmm. You know, you find that high fructose corn syrup in everything today.
Right. Right.
So, you know, go ahead, buddy.
Okay, well, that's TJ McCormick. This is John Tantillo, Brand Talk, 1460 on your AM dial, WVOX. But let's take a look at why I feel this ballpark and peanuts is dumb.
Yeah.
It's all about your target market. Mm-hmm. What percentage of people are you talking about? That are allergic to peanuts. This is insanity. All right. So from a branding and marketing perspective, this is dumb.
And you know what would illustrate your point is if they went with your idea, which was have a peanut-free section.
Absolutely.
Right? If they had a peanut-free section at Yankee Stadium, do you know what? If that was solely for people, if they only sold tickets to people, okay, you know what? That would be an empty section every game. You'd see blue seats there. It'd be a postage stamp of blue seats at the stadium. Say, what the heck's that? Oh, that's the peanut allergy
but
section.
Let's get back to what I always like to talk about in terms of marketing.
Yes, sir.
Marketing is about satisfying needs.
Needs.
And if most of your customers like peanuts, what in God's name are you doing with banning a product that people like? And this is a great example of the anti-peanut lobby understanding marketing, but the pro-peanut people or the peanut lobby not understanding the importance of marketing by not saying what's going on here. How do you feel about peanuts? 914 at the ballpark. 636-0110. 914-636-0110. And now, for TJ McCormick's favorite part.
Love this.
Part of the show, Did You Know That?
And he never tells me what it is.
Did You Know That is where little known facts are brought center stage for your delight, amazement, and dare I say, your continuing education. And now, Did You Know That?
This is Dr. John Tantillo asking, Did You Know That? Some say luck is more important than intelligence, but for one Luther Samjian, persistence was the key. Because of this determination, he is responsible for a famous machine that many of us use every day, and scores of other innovations. Samjian came to America in 1920, a refugee from political strife.
He planned to study medicine, but his love for innovation won out. Beginning in 1934, he started inventing and never stopped. His last patent was issued just 7 months before his death at the age of 92. Simjian invented everything from medical ultrasound devices to golf simulators to meat tenderizers. One of his most famous creations was the self-posing portrait camera, the technology behind what you and I know as the photo booth. But his greatest success was seen as a failure. You see, he was so far ahead of his time that almost 40 years had to pass before his machine was recognized. He filed 20 supporting patents and even had a bank field tested, but people simply weren't ready. Years later, others got the credit for refining the device, but many of Simjian's groundbreaking features and principles remain. So does the name, the Automated Telemachine, or ATM. And now you can say, yes, I know that.
Okay, go ahead, TJ.
Yeah, I like to think I'm one of the smartest guys in the room. I know a little about a lot. And I sit here week after week feeling like I need a dunce cap on my head because I can never figure this one out. I'm always the last one to get it.
Well, no, I don't think so. I mean, it's...
That's a great one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, well, this is a great example of persistence, you know?
Yeah.
And like I used to say, you know, the old, please forgive me if you heard this, but I'm a big fan of Winston Churchill and his last speech at Eton after losing the election, after getting Britain out of the war, and getting, he was rejected by the public. He was voted out of office in like July of 1945, and he gets up at Eton and he says, "Gentlemen, never, never, never give up. Never, never, never give up."
Yep.
And that was his speech. And the point is, when you have an invention and you're trying to sell it, you have to not give up.
Right.
And remember that it's maybe that one more call that will be the call where you get sales success.
Right.
And that you just got to keep plugging on. And you and I both know what that means.
Yeah.
And because life, and especially in the creative fields,
yeah,
you can get very, very worn out very, very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a great example of the time was not right. Because remember, banks were open. Banking, the perception of banking is you come to the bank before 3 o'clock.
Right.
And that's it. Now, if you go to a TD Bank, they're not 24/7, but they're open 7 days a week.
Sure.
I mean, when I was a kid, you used to have to get to the bank before 3 o'clock.
Right.
You know?
Sure. And it was just
Monday through Friday.
Five
no
days
Saturday.
A week. Banker's hours.
Banker's hours. That's correct.
Now banker's hours will kill you.
Yes, yes. So anyway, it's a great story about just persisting and being there.
Amazing.
So anyway, there's some another thing that I think that ran across my desk this week that I think deserves to be talked about. Two things.
Mm-hmm.
One is our good friend Warren Buffett.
Yes,
and his being public with his prostate cancer, and you know, I think that's so different from Steven Jobs, who was in denial.
Yeah,
that Steven Jobs believed that it was better to keep it quiet than it would be to address it.
Right,
and Warren Buffett did that. I have cancer. Mm-hmm. I'm going for the treatment. It's stage one, and we're taking care of it. And what's this, the statistic? 80% of men after the age of 80 will get prostate cancer, and right. or you know,
if you live long enough,
you'll get it. That's the old joke,
right?
You know, if you live long enough, yeah. and you're a man, you're going to get prostate cancer.
Well, you know, you want to hear the cynical side of me?
Go ahead.
Interesting notion, talking about healthcare and the impending Obamacare.
Yes.
Wonder what happens. I wonder if an 80-something-year-old man with a stage one, thank God, God bless him, diagnosis,
right,
would even qualify to receive treatment for something that's supposedly a very slow and very non-threatening at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how many 80-year-old men would receive health care from the government for treatment for that.
This is T.J. McCormick
right?
making that statement.
Right?
That's not John Tent. Do not
That's
confuse.
That's T.J. And you know where I come from, and here's a pun for you. I'm right.
Well, that's a very interesting
There's
question.
Also, you know what? I'm also cynical about this guy because here's a guy out there flaunting his own the
We're talking about the president.
No, Buffett. Buffett. Well, Buffett,
Buffett
and the president.
Right.
Flaunting this loosely defined thing about his tax rate, his secretary's tax rate, et cetera, et cetera. Meanwhile, the man is out there talking all self-righteously about his taxes whilst he is actively in court fighting a $1 billion tax bill.
Yes.
He is not right now inclined to pay what he owes, and yet he's telling everybody else to pony up. So I'm wondering.
So you really like Warren Buffett, huh?
So well, I tell you, you know what? I mean, you know, I have people very, very near and dear to me fighting that and other cancers right now. And you know what? This is not about that. However, I am forced to be cynical about Warren Buffett because you know what? I'm wondering, while he has this court case out there, I'm wondering how much of this is about engendering a positive reaction from the public as he fights his taxes. I'm terrible. I am awful.
No, you're not.
Oh,
you're
I
just
am.
TJ McCormick.
What a great show.
John Tantillo, TJ McCormick, Brand Talk. See you next week, Thursdays, 5 to 6. Bye-bye.
This is WVOX Worldwide.
The information you need all day long and the music of your life all night long. This is America's great community radio station. It's